Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Roberta of Roberta Inspires Omni Media back on the air, and I'm so excited. This is the relaunch of Inspire Radio, and we have got a great show for you today. This is the Martin Luther King holiday weekend. And so it's a great weekend to kick things back off. And now I'm adding in all this new stuff like Facebook Live. So if you're on Facebook Live, you can see me actually doing the broadcast for Inspire Radio. I'm going to just let you know how excited I am about this. And my auntie was all excited when she heard I was kicking it back on air. And there's always fun stuff going on when you do it, though. And so had a little glitch here, but you know what? You just keep it moving. So I'm going to improvise a little bit here, and I hope you'll just go right along with this because I want to really open up the show with a song by Mahalia Jackson, And it is that song of How I Got Over. We know about Dr. Martin Luther King and the leader that he actually has been for so many of us over the years, and we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate. My bishop will be speaking tomorrow at a church here in the area, and of course, she won't be able to get to it, but that's all good. And we've got a bunch of stuff going on, and it's been a very exciting time, just, you know, all around. And today, in addition to celebrating the King holiday, I'm also going to be talking a little bit with you about an event coming up next Saturday. I'll be there. It is called, guess what? It's called Jump Into January with Jeans and Jump Into January with Jeans and Jesus. It's being hosted by my friend and alum, Allegra Hall. So you don't want to miss this show because it's going to be, let me do this episode thing. It's going to be phenomenal, and you're going to really, really enjoy it. And if you're interested in the meantime in calling in to the show, you can call in to 929-477-2869. And let's crank this up just a little bit with some How I Got Over by Mahalia Jackson at the March, 1963 March on Washington with Dr. King's wonderful I Have a Dream speech. Don't play for it.
Tell me how we got over. Lord, Lord, Lord. We had a mighty
Okay, folks, it's Roberta again, and Roberta Inspires. I muted myself. Now you should be able to hear me, but I'm going to give you a little bit more of Mahalia Jackson. I'm having a bit of a technical difficulty with my other file, but I'm going to get it all queued up and we're going to make this thing happen. But I'm just glad that you could be here, and if you got some friends, tell them to join in on the Facebook Live. In the meantime, like I said, I'm getting the other interview all queued up with Allegra Hall of Women Walking in Wisdom. We met at Regent University and Seminary, and just really dynamic woman. Here we go with one of my role models, Mahalia Jackson. Here we go again. That was the late, great Mahalia Jackson. Wow. Well, we know, again, this is the King birthday celebration, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. I can remember the day he was actually assassinated, being at my grandmother's and being outside at our water pump. She was out at the water pump. I was in the house, and I was watching the TV, and I can just remember racing out. And mother, Dr. King has been shot. I'll never forget it. I mean, I felt as much concern as any of the adults were, because it was like, oh, Lord, there goes our hope, is the way it felt for me as a young person and just a little kid. And so we're glad that we now have the King holiday to celebrate. And during President Obama's administration, they used it always as a time of service, that you go out and give service in the community. And so I hope that that is what people will still do, because that's still very important, and we don't want to miss out on that opportunity, because that's what Dr. King was all about. Do you have memories of the late Dr. King that you would like to share? Please call in, if so, at 929-477-2896. Again, it's Roberta. Roberta Inspires Omni Media, and I am the host of Inspire Radio, and I want to hear from you. You want to be heard? Somebody's always ready to listen. So please tune in and let us hear from you, your memories of the late Dr. Martin Luther King. When did you first hear of him? When did you learn more about the movement? And how old were you, or where were you during the civil rights movement? I'm having a lot of fun here with my dashboard. But we're going to hear Allegra Hall very shortly. And her event comes up this Saturday in College Park, Maryland, at the College Park Marriott Conference Center. It's actually sold out, but you still want to get some information about it. And I think that you'll be glad that you did, because other events will be coming up that you'll want to take part in or in the future, I'm sure. And so you don't want to not be in the swing of things. It's very important to to be in the mix and to stay on top of what's going on in the nation's capital, because we've always got something going on there, right? Everybody knows that's how we do it. And so she's got over 200 women coming to the event. This is actually the ninth year for this event. It is incredible. I went for the first time last year myself, and I am telling you, I was blessed so much. I will be there with bells and whistles on. I got trying on my jeans for this event. Again, it's called Jump Into January with Jeans and Jesus. And the theme this year is refuel, refuel. How do you get that energy and get revved up to do the things that God's called us to do in this particular year? Well, if you come on up over to Washington, D.C., maybe you have to hang out somewhere in the hallway, I guess. This is so sold out. You'll be able to learn more about the event. And there are events coming up also in the summer, I believe, that you'll not want to miss. I'm going to try an alternate way in a moment to get this to come up for us. And so just bear with me. I've got so many different little things that I tell you, like I said, when you do live radio, it's nothing like doing TV, because radio just really has a mind of its own. It looks like it's all queued up and ready to go. Let me pop back over into the studio. There we go. And here is my interview with Allegra Hall. Wonderful. Okay. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio and Inspire Radio. My guest today is none other than Mrs. Allegra Hall, who is the founder and executive director of Women Walking in Wisdom. And she has a terrific conference coming up called Jump Into January with Jeans and Jesus. And we're going to be celebrating that on January the 20th, starting at 9 a.m. over at the, tell us the location, please, Mrs. Hall.
At the College Park Marriott and Conference Center, right there on the campus of University of Maryland. The hotel is a beautiful, beautiful hotel, newly restored, mm-hmm. renovated, and it's right next to the University of Maryland's football stadium. So it's on that side of the campus. Beautiful place. Very peaceful.
How excellent. And the food is fantastic. I'm here to tell you. Get ready for that. Well, we want to talk a little bit today to just shed a little more light on why this conference is so important for women to attend, and also what your vision is for the women that actually attend. It is a Christian-based conference, and many times people cannot make the connection between how, you know, attending such an event actually helps you in the marketplace, in your leadership positions, whether they're civic or in a religious organization. And I really want to get to the bottom of that, okay, for some folks, and see if we can sort that out. And so, you know, a non-church speak, we're gonna do our best. Let me start by asking about you, because you are a 21st century woman. You're a mom, you're a wife, you're a business owner, you're a conference host. Obviously, you launched this ministry called Women Walking in Wisdom many years ago, and it's grown from its inception to hundreds of women from all over the place, and the conference has, you know, hundreds of women, like up to 300 and so forth. I don't even know if I have the accurate count. And it's in its ninth year, and not only that, the women come in from five different states. Mm-hmm. So you are a phenomenon to be reckoned with yourself. Tell me, wow. Let's talk a little bit about you. I recall that you are a former political staffer, turned TV producer, turned mompreneur, and a conference host, and actually a publisher of a magazine. I left that part out. So let's talk a little bit about your transition. You came to Washington as a political staffer, correct?
I did, yes. Oh, so many years ago. It hasn't been that long, but it was long enough. And Roberta, thank you for having me on your show. I really do appreciate it. It is a blessing and an honor to be on your show. I do really appreciate that. But, yes, I came to D.C. to work on the Hill for a senator at the time, and it was
educational.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. You know, I was just a girl from Jersey, and then I lived in Pennsylvania in the Valley for a while there, and it was just a beautiful, restful place. Just a handful of people, you know, in the town, that kind of thing. And then you come to D.C. and it's like night and day. I mean, it's to just get acclimated to the pace. You know, everyone's going somewhere, everybody's walking with importance, you know, and then the new lingo, the language of D.C., you know, you've got to learn all of that. And, yeah, it was a change in my life, but the Lord had it that way, and I grew and developed as a professional, but also personally as a woman. And that's how I came here. Working on the Hill is, there's nothing like it. It's like boot camp, I guess.
I was going to ask, what specific skills do you feel you developed from being a political staffer? I mean, I can only imagine how fast things change by the minute.
Well, you know, there's this misnomer out there that people who work for the government are just getting a paycheck and not really putting in any time and effort, and, you know, because it's always this red tape and things take a long time. Well, the reason for that is that we're dealing with millions of requests, literally. And I can think of the days I was there, I didn't go home before. You know, you always worked a 12, a 14, a 16-hour day. You lived for the job, right? You were the job.
Okay.
And that's why there's also such a high turnover, because you can only do that for so long, right? But if you want to have another kind of a life, if you want to have any kind of a life outside of work. So I think what I mostly learned out of that was how to juggle things and to prioritize. I think I also learned the importance of networking, because so many times it wasn't what you know, as they always say, it's who you know. And that's true on every level. So I think that was the most important thing. And also just to see, really to work in the government is an honor itself, because you're actually serving the American people. I know people talk about it, they wave the flag and think that, you know, that's all so cliche. But honestly, for those people who are really there, they could be making a lot more money other places. So many people are there as a duty to their, more of a public service, but a duty to their fellow Americans. Yeah.
Wow, that is, I love it. A duty to your fellow Americans. And then to obtain more balance in your life, you made a transition and went in something that's like totally different, or seems totally different, and it got into the media field and became a producer, a TV producer. Tell us about that transition, if you would, please, and what you learned from that.
I think all of us have the potential for many things. Maybe in the days of our moms and our dads and our grandparents, you know, they were, when they were born, they knew what they were going to do. It was like one lane that you went down. You worked in this factory, or you became a doctor, or you were an attorney, or you were a farmer, but you knew what you were doing because your father did it and your father's father and so on. But I feel like in our generation and the ones coming, that there's so many possibilities. Like one minute you want to be a painter, the next minute you're thinking, I can learn how to do coding, right, to really get into science thing. And I think there's so much ability and openness with open markets that you find out there's different parts of you. And that's what happened to me. So as I actually wanted to be on the missions field. So I had no intentions of going to the city, but it was the Lord who sent me to D.C. So I did that, but then I always wanted to be in ministry. And lo and behold, something came across my desk to go to Regent University, do my master's degree in practical theology. And
okay,
when I
she's
started,
a minister. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, awesome, awesome course. And of course, that's how I also met you know you, a wonderful woman of God years ago, who helped me during that time tremendously. But that helped to season me and also to really help to release me from now the hat of being on the hill to, hey, wait, there are other parts of you. Next thing
okay.
I know, I was working for CBN News and doing work for them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know
wow.
I had the desire, but, you know, it takes a certain kind of creativity to write, to produce, to create, and here I am.
Wow, and so you've really, it sounds like, delved into the field of journalism, embracing it. You're a member of one of the national clubs. Is it the National Press Club, if I have it correct?
National Press Club, yeah, I love it there. Mm-hmm. Really great people. They have so many, regular events, and then, of course, there's teachings that they do that you can learn and really bone up on your skills for all those would-be journalists and people who are journalists and been in this business for 20 years and 30 years, and you can still have an opening for learning, yeah.
Wow, wow, wow. And then you've done some other, I believe, training. I remember you were in New York at a big conference and training, and then you're, I think it's, you know, various types of events you've actually been to and gotten additional training. Tell us
mm-hmm.
just a little bit, you don't have to say by name, but some of the types of training that you also equipped yourself with as you became a TV producer.
Well, I think there are many things, but one, I took a course, which I highly recommend, on public speaking. Whether you take it at the community college or you join Toastmasters, I think it really helps you to gain confidence and strengthen your thoughts and even your thought process, and then how you verbalize your ideas, and are you really getting thoughts across to people that they can understand? So I would suggest that. I definitely did that. I also, coaching certificate, so I can learn how to listen to people and be able to really observe and to not only observe but absorb what they're really saying to me, and then be able to give it back. You know, sometimes people are talking, but you're already thinking of the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in the coaching segment, you know, you really have to take time to clear your mind to hear the person so that you're able to be that sounding board. You're able to allow the person to be transparent. So these are some of the things that I did along the way and more. So, yes. Yeah.
And that that was at the graduate level, correct, the coaching training?
Yeah.
The graduate school. That's good. You know, there's so many coaching sort of programs or certificates that go out. And what you've done distinguishes you, because this was actually at the graduate level being taught by a PhD and all of his other groups of people. So that's excellent, excellent, and definitely makes you more well-rounded, which is why I say you're a 21st century woman. And from there, I want to begin to try to tell all the stories, because I know you're a writer. You also write and publish out on the internet. Where can we find articles that you may have done, or publications or things that you put in print?
So we have a magazine. The Ministry of Women Walking in Wisdom has a magazine called Living Wisely. And we publish that a few times a year. And what we try to do is to teach people how to live a more healthy, wealthy, and wise life. So we do articles, obviously, on health and your well-being, your physical well-being, your spiritual development, you know, and your mental development. So we try to talk to women who have already been through a situation and now have a revelation of God and are at a peaceful place and can explain how to get through these journeys. And then we have businesses that come in and they'll talk to us from how to raise your business in a biblical principles. So these are some of the things that we do in the magazine, and it's been really rewarding because, you know, you hear the big names, right? Your T.D. Jakes and Creflo Dollar, all of these guys. But, you know, there are millions of stories out there of God touching folks' lives. And you don't hear about it unless you're in that sphere. So we give a voice to those testimonies, those everyday testimonies. Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, I don't think most people realize that you produce the Living Wisely TV show. Tell me a little bit about that experience and some of your guests. This is Roberta. Roberta Inspires Omnimedia. I'm sorry you didn't get to hear all of it. I do invite you to tune in and pay attention on my Facebook page and also on the Inspire Radio page, and you'll get to hear more of this interview, and I'll tell you where the full interview will be. Just remember that Dr. Sharon Arnesbitt, out of Arizona, the pastor and author of Chosen for Greatness, will be the keynote fireball speaker at the event. I want to read with you in celebration as we conclude a bit of the I Have a Dream, a speech that we are all so familiar with, and I hope that it will touch your heart the way it has touched so many. Now is the time, Dr. King said, to make justice a reality for all of God's children, all of God's children. And he goes on to say, it would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. The sweltering summer of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until there is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. And we celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King, who said, I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even in the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, he goes on to say that he had a dream that his four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin.
So she started making little fortune cookies, right?